hymnal, let's turn to page number 219. 219.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Blessed.
You know what? It's August the 4th, and yesterday I think it only got up in the mid-80s. Amen? It's lovely. To our visitors, we're glad you're here. Please, anytime you're in our area, we invite you back just to be a part of our service this morning. Our whole purpose here this morning is to worship and serve God and learn from His Word that we might be better Christians. And we invite you in. Just make yourself at home. We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming our way. Had a good class again this morning. And our teacher told us that he's going to be missing in action for a couple of weeks. So class won't be the same without you, Jeff. Hurry back. We still got some other folks traveling around, too, that we miss. So we look forward to seeing them come back. Bill Rigsby, can you hear me? I love you, my friend. It's good to see you. Can you hear me just a little? You may have to move closer. Joyce, I told him that he needed to sit up front so he could hear a little better. I said, I'll put you right between Joyce and Cindy. You have two pretty girls to sit with. There you go. Good to see you, buddy. All right, this morning, there are directory updates. So for our church directory, has all the names, phone numbers, email addresses, and stuff like that of everybody that wanted to be in it. There's updates right up here. Miss Georgia, I think, can get you one if you don't have any part of the directory. So to our new folks, if you need one, get with Miss Georgia, I believe. Am I correct? She can get you one, okay? This morning, we're passed the plate twice. Second time around is for our building fund. That goes for remodels and additions and just many things that we use it for. And we've got some stuff coming up we're going to talk about in our business meeting. So trying to move forward. We never want to stay still. Always want to be the best us we can be. And so keep that in mind as it comes around the second time. This evening at 6 o'clock, Brother Yorley Armenio will be here, our missionary from Peru. If you haven't ever met Brother Yorley, I encourage you to come back. He is quite a fella. God is using him and his family greatly. Looking forward to him being here and speaking to us tonight. And after that, we will do a little bit of ice cream and coffee across the way. So after Brother Yorley talks, we'll go over there and visit for a little bit and eat some ice cream. And so come back for that at 6. Next Sunday, August the 11th, will be our homecoming. We will be celebrating 116 years here at Oak Hill. Potluck immediately following the morning service, and then singing and fellowship will begin at about 1:30 or at 1:30. Junction 5 will be performing, and they're going to do the morning music as well. So if you've got a special or anything like that, Brother Gene, I'm sure, will let you sing. And maybe even more than one if you want to. Oh, yeah. Okay, so if you haven't ever heard Junction 5, it'll be a treat. Come back and listen to them and enjoy the services. Miss Mary Lou?
Yes.
Miss Mary Lou, did you get all the pictures?
Yes.
Okay. She always? Okay. She does the history of the church in the hall right behind the kitchen over here, and it's quite amazing to see where we came from, and we're still going forward too as well. So we thank Miss Mary Lou for the effort that she puts forth in that. Now our business meeting normally would be, but it's not, so we've had to move it back to the 18th. Because of everything that's going on, Brother Yorley, and our homecoming. So keep that in mind. We do have some stuff we're going to talk about, so be there. This morning, nursery attendants are Cindy and Jerry. Next Sunday will be Sam and Donna Johnson. Did I miss any announcements? Anything? Junction 5 had singing last night. I couldn't come. Was it last night? Sorry about that, but I know y'all did great. I hope. Well, there was a lot of folk there, but
yeah, good, time.
Good deal. Pardon me? That's because Dwight's in there. I always enjoy them. We had a birthday party. Grandkids trump about everything.
Yes.
Okay, just so you know. Last night he said, one of our youngest grandson, I said, where are you sleeping tonight? He said, I'm sleeping with you, Papa. And so we did for a little while until he got to kicking me. Too bad I had to get up and leave. But anyway, that's what it's all about. All right, a couple other things. A revival mentioned here. Brother Sean Holland is the evangelist. Winding Missionary Baptist Church, August the 5th. That'll be tomorrow night through the 7th, 7 p.m. nightly. If you can go by there and support Brother Sean. I've known him for a few years. Also, we have a letter here requesting us to pray about supporting a mission work that's getting started up in Cuba. And so we have been talking about this now for a couple of weeks, but there's a letter here that I received, or the church did, and there's a copy of it back there if you want to read. Cuba's probably one of the worst places in the world right now for missionaries, so if nothing else, they for sure need our prayers. So we'll talk about this in our business meeting as well. So if you want to read the letter, it's back there on the back. Anything else?
Number four.
Good to see everybody out and about this morning. Got a beautiful day to attend the house of the Lord, and it's just wonderful to be here. We're going to do a song for you this morning, an old song, but that's mostly all I do is old songs.
That's what I
But anyway, the title of this song is In the Sweet Forever. Do you ever think about the sweet forever? You know, the Word says that man's life on this earth is short and full of troubles. But see, as Christians, we have a sweet forever to look forward to. Amen. Where we don't have to worry about these old earthly bodies that we're caged up in, hurting and failing on us. We're going to have a new glorified body, and we're going to be up there in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe that is really something for us to look forward to. So we're going to sing this song for you. Hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, it is. I love it. Looking forward to that day. All right, Leviticus chapter 20. Here we go. It's good to be here this morning, enjoying God's singing of God's praises to, I can't sing, but I can enjoy the music. It's good to be here. Amen. I love coming to church. All right, back in March of this year. I mentioned in a sermon about being holy unto God. And this morning I want to expand that just a bit. So pay close attention, because I don't want you to leave in here thinking I said something I didn't. Okay? So listen. The scripture I read was this, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 7. Are you there? I didn't give you much time, did I? Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. Now, if you go back and you read the rest of this scripture, you'll see that it was talking about the children of Israel getting mixed up in the worship of Molech. And Molech was known for their child, the worship of him was known for their child sacrifices. So they were offering their children as sacrifices to this false god. But in these two verses, I want you to see that God acknowledges what was going on, but he says this, be holy. He's talking to his people. That's us. It still applies. Okay? These two verses, he's telling us to be holy. Now, I know that we don't offer our kids on a sacrifice, on an altar, do we? But the question I have for you this morning is do we offer the lives of our children to the God of this world through our actions? Now, many of maybe all of you are sitting back there saying, this preacher's crazy, because we love our kids more than that. He should know that we would never offer our kids up to a false god. We wouldn't willingly do that, would we? I know it. But what about if we do it unwillingly or unknowingly? We Christians often misquote scriptures because we've heard it said as a quote. One of those quotes is this, be ye in the world but not of the world. Y'all ever heard that? It's quoted as scripture. It's not in the Bible. But the teaching is throughout. And if you go back to that quote there, it says in the world, and that is nothing more than our location. This is where we are at this point in our life, our location. Of the world, though, has to deal with the source of our information and our actions. Okay, it's important that we note that we are here on this earth until Jesus comes back and takes us to be with him. That's where we live for now. It's temporary. But of the world has to do with our actions and where we get our information. Where do you get your information that you live by? And how do you act on that information? That's the question. Now, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. I have better things in store for me because of what Jesus did. So why would I act like this world is my home? Ponder that one for a second. Here's what I want to tell you. We are losing our children to the world. And if you don't believe that, just look around. Could it be because we don't take a stand against the things of the world? Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. Are we? Well, that gets pretty heavy, don't it? Think with me for a second. Now, I know as well as you that we will never be as holy as God, because in Isaiah we're told that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And those rags that he's talking about there in Isaiah, those were the rags or the cloths that they used to bind up the lepers. And they were nothing they could do with them but throw them away and burn them. That's our righteousness until we are born again through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Those old rags, they were useless. But we, covered in the blood, are not. We are the light of the world. And so we're supposed to shine in the world. And that's our job. Okay? Knowing does not release us from trying to be like him. So knowing that we can't be as good as Jesus Christ doesn't release us from the responsibility of giving it the best effort we have. Because God honors our effort. I'm just a born-again believer. There's only two kinds of people in this world. There's lost sinners and saved sinners. Praise the Lord, I am one of the saved sinners. And I pray that everyone that's in here is. And God expects us to not act like the world. You've heard me say many times that I'm a cup that is always full kind of guy. I believe that I'm not one of those people that thinks that the cup's half empty or half full. I think it's always full. You've heard me say it many times. It's always full of something. What is up to us? Take this bottle of clear water. It's pretty, isn't it? See right through it. But if I take one drop, put it in, shake it up. One drop. The more drops I put in it, the blacker it gets. Now I can add one drop of clear water to that. It doesn't affect it much. You see that? Galatians 5:9 tells us that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, I got a question for you. If we're to be holy, and if a little drop pollutes the whole bottle, and we're commanded by God to be holy because He's holy, what did you allow your children and yourself to watch on TV last night? Ever heard that old saying, you are what you eat? Good stuff in, bad stuff out. Or good stuff, I'm sorry I misdone that one. Bad stuff in, bad stuff out. Good stuff in, good stuff out. God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so ask your question to yourself this morning. How much TV did I watch this last week compared to how much Bible did I read? Boy, I'm hitting close to home because I like watching my TV. But there's not very much on there that I can watch anymore, because if you put the good stuff in, the good stuff comes out. If you put the bad stuff in, the bad stuff comes out. Remember, if I put that drop of food coloring in there, for every show that I watched on TV in the last week, how dark would the water be for the bad stuff I watched? For the times that I read the scripture, I put one drop of the clear in there. It takes a lot more scripture to clean that up than it does to make it dirty. Good stuff in, good stuff out. Bad stuff in, bad stuff out. Remember that old children's song we used to sing? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. It goes on to say, be careful, little feet, where you go, and little hands, what you do, and little ears, what you hear. And really what the whole meaning of the song is that we as Christian, born-again believers, need to be very careful what we take in, because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. I dare say that every one of us in here today can do better than we've done in the past. There's room for improvement, would you say? Are you the perfect Christian? I'm not. I'm not saying don't watch any TV. I'm just saying be careful what you watch, and be careful what you allow your children to watch, because it's influencing the way that they think and the way that they act. And if we're to be in the world but not of the world, we have to fill them and ourselves up with the right stuff for it to come out. Be ye holy because God is holy. The Holy Spirit dwells in you upon salvation. He is a part of you. And be careful where you take Him. Be careful what you show Him. A friend of mine told me here a while back when I was talking to him that I should watch the Game of Thrones. I'm not going to ask anybody in here if you've watched that show. I'm just going to make this statement. He said it was the best series he had ever seen. And he said amazing, I believe, is the word that he used. And so I did. I went on the internet and I looked it up on HBO, and I watched part of the first episode. show of the series. Couldn't watch any more of it. I literally couldn't watch it. I just had all of it I could take. I had to turn it off. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but the violence, the sexual content, and the language, terrible. It was terrible. And that's what's going around and popular. And if you look at the trends, that's one of the most watched series on television ever. And that's what our kids are seeing. Sadly to say, that's what a lot of us adults are watching. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. We had another mass shooting this last week down in Texas. Ever wonder why that's so bad? Well, I think that part of it is that we have desensitized ourselves so much that it becomes easy to do these kind of things because of the shows that are watched, because of what Hollywood produces, and because of a lot of the video games that are out there. Life really becomes where it's meaningless in one sense of the word. I'm not judging anyone, but I just want to say this. If you look at that kind of stuff, some of it sticks. It's like that picture that you get in your mind. It was brought up in our class this morning. We talked about that. We use a computer a lot, and I don't know, but if you've been on a computer as much as I have, and I know some others, then at some point in your history, you've clicked on a website somewhere that came up with some stuff that is absolutely ludicrous. And I want to tell you something. Those images that you see, even for a short time, are hard to get out of your mind. And Satan will use that against you because he'll find you in a weakened state and he'll flash that picture in front of your eyes and cause you to be tempted to do things. Be careful what you watch and what you do. I'm not better than anybody. I know that. And I'm not judging anybody, but I'm talking about what God tells us to be. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's what God says. And so our goal as Christians and our goal as church members should be to be the holiest me I can be. You ever heard anybody say, "I didn't get much out of that service today"? My question immediately is this: what'd you put into it? Because you get out of something what you put into something. So did you come here this morning ready to worship God? Did you come prepared and cleansed? Or does it take all of the preaching service and the Sunday school service and the singing service to get your heart right to worship God? You don't get something out of the service, put something into the service. The Scripture says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." That's a choice that we make every day of our life. Yes, I know that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that He has covered you by the blood, but daily choices we make, whether we honor God or honor self, and if we're going to be holy like God, we have to live in this world, but we don't have to be a part of the thinking, the culture. Oh, but people look down at me, preacher, if I don't go to the movies and watch this stuff. And, yeah, okay. And your point is, who am I pleasing, self or God? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Remember the Scripture at the beginning, Leviticus 20, verse 7, it says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be holy." Holy means exalted or lifted up, or worthy of complete devotion as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. Devoted to the work of God, not to the pleasures of the body. It says, "For I am the Lord, your God." He's talking to His people. He's talking to me. He's talking to you, church. Be you holy, for God is holy. You remember Moses at the burning bush? What did God tell him? He said, "Take off your shoes Because you're standing on holy ground. Let me tell you something, friend. This church right here, this is holy ground. This is God's house. We need to prepare ourselves before we get here. This is God's house. You're sitting, standing on holy ground. And it's a command of God. It's not a suggestion. It says, "For I am the Lord your God." And verse 8 says, "And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Now, the only way that God will truly bless this church, any other church, or the nation is if we honor and glorify and serve Him and keep His statutes. Listen, friend, we need to be pure. We need to be as pure as we possibly can, especially in these times that we live. Because if we're not different than the world, then we have no influence on those that we come in contact with. Our children, even. If we come to church every Sunday and then Monday our kids see us doing the things that the rest of the world are doing, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to do what they see more than what they hear. We have to live it in front of them. Is it easy? No. You going to lose some friends? Yes. You know what? You get better ones in replacement. Whenever you go to the right places and you gather with the right people, be ye holy. Holiness starts with a decision that you make when you say, "God, I am going to be the best me I can be to please you." It starts with you. It starts with me. I have to decide to be holy. I make a choice every day and every time that I go out into the world. How am I going to act? Every situation that comes up in our jobs and even in our families, we make a decision how we're going to act or react. I can choose to be holy. And when I do that, I apply God's word to every situation that I'm in. It makes me a better me. I'm just like you, though. We all make choices. I want you to know that God knows that we can't live good enough to please Him. We look back to the Mosaic Law and we see that the law was never meant to save anyone. It was always meant to show us that we couldn't live good enough to save ourselves. That's why Jesus had to come. I thank God that when God looks at me, He sees me in red and covered in the blood, because I'm not perfect. I'm still a sinner, just saved by grace. God will reward our effort when we seek Him first. You want to change the world? It starts right here inside of me. Spreads. God rewards our effort. Want to see lost souls saved? Listen, friend, that should be the goal of every born-again believer, is to see other lost souls saved, because the consequences are dire. There's only two choices. Choose Jesus or choose hell. It's really very simple. And so a lot of times, all the time actually, people look at us and say, "Well, there's that old preacher from Oak Hill down there. Look what I just saw him do." Oh, but wait a minute. He's looking at y'all too. All of us. Because we all are part of the body of Christ. Want to see lost souls saved? Show them we have something that they don't have. Show them that we are not bound to the confines of what this world can give us. Paul said that he had learned to be content in whatever situation he was in and to give God the thanks and the glory for everything, even the bad stuff in your life. You want to see lost souls saved? Be ye holy, because God is holy. And let me tell you, the world will look and see and know that you have something they need. We're losing our children by the droves. Folk, it's a war that we're in. And we have many obstacles in our way, and one of them is the sin nature that we're born with. We can thank Adam for that, but, you know, really Adam didn't do anything we wouldn't have done. But he cast us into sin, and we battle this sin nature, but we also battle Satan and his influence in the world. I preached a sermon it's been a little while back about Satan's tackle box, and I love to talk about fishing because I love to fish, and I told my wife I need some more fish baits, and she said I had a whole boat full of them, and I said, well, I know, but I don't have that color. I have 27 other ones just like it, but they don't have that orange on the bottom, and you see, that's what Satan does to us. He keeps throwing that lure. He keeps enticing us to bite, and he knows our weakness. And we can only withstand the wiles of the devil when we embrace the greatness of God. You can't defeat Satan without Jesus. Be ye holy. Do we fail? Absolutely. You know what we do? We get up and we start over. Because the Bible tells us that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we repent. And repentance means that we acknowledge God is right and that I've done wrong and turn away from that sin and do our best not to do it again. God will forgive us. He will cleanse us. He'll make us whole. I don't care where you're at in your life, friend. Whatever situation is going on, whatever you're doing in your life, all you have to do is give it to God. Amen. He'll take it if you're just willing to give it. Be ye holy. You want to change the world? I think about Jesus and the 12 apostles. Small group. Changed the world, turned it upside down, changed it forever. Friend, we have that same ability because we still have God and the Holy Spirit dealing with us. Still the same God. Still the same God. Thank God for that. Listen, this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have to start there because God will not accept anything else. God will only accept us if we come through the shed blood of Jesus. John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that was Jesus speaking. You've got to come through the blood. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that don't automatically fix all the problems you go through in this world, but it does fix the end results. Saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. It's all about what He did. But I want you to know this morning that I believe from the bottom of my heart that if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never have to fear losing that. But I want you to know something, friend, this morning. God expects us to do the best that we can while we're here on this earth. He wants me to be the best me I can be. And the best me that I can be is serving God faithfully every day. Fill it up with the good stuff. And don't leave any room for the bad stuff. You know, if I hadn't wanted to make a mess, I could have took this bottle of water and I could fill it all the way to the top. I mean, plumb to the top. And when I dropped that drop of food coloring in, it would run right off the edge and it wouldn't have went in. When we keep our cup full, the world has no influence on us. Be the best you can be. I don't know your situation, but you know what? Whatever it is, you can bring it to the altar, you can get right here, and you can give it to God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can fix that today. He says that if we will call on Him, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and be one of the whosoevers. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We all fit in one of those two categories. We'll all make a decision which one we do after we start our invitation. We'll ask Gene and Linda Gill if they will to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, I pray that you help me, Sam Alt, be a better me today than I was yesterday. Lord, I pray that you help me to control my mind and my thoughts and my actions so that I might be that shining light to some lost soul I come in contact with. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's here as well that Jesus Christ would lead their life. And I know that He's willing. I just know, Lord, that we have to open ourselves up to being led. I pray, Lord, that the Spirit would just lead each and every one of us where you would have us go, whatever it may be. I pray, Lord, your will be done in each and every life. Help us, Lord, to learn to be more holy. We need your strength, Lord. We need your guidance. We need your help. Lord, as we do that, we pray that if there's any lost here amongst us or in our community or in our circle that we come in contact with, that they might see that there is a reality in serving a true and living God. Help us to be that influence. Lord, cultivate their hearts. Plow that hard ground so that when we drop a seed, it might grow. Thank you for what Jesus did on the cross. I thank you for sending Him. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Page 189. 189.
If you're here and you're not saved, Jesus won't force that on you. He'll knock, and that still small voice will say, "Let me in," and I'm here. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you need to give to Him. He won't just take it unless you give it to Him. The scripture is very plain, and as the old song says, Jesus is waiting outside the door knocking. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he won't force His way in. He will only save you if you ask Him to. He's already paid the price. Your debt's already been paid for. All you have to do is claim it. It's not like the ad you get from the Ford dealership downtown. Gives you a key and says, "Come on down, you want a car, guess what? It don't fit nothing." It's not like that. Jesus has already paid the price. He's faithful and just. And all you have to do is claim it. It's yours. Listen, maybe you're burdened with something. Maybe you've got something going on in your life. It's weighing you down. The stress of this old world will just about wipe you out if you'll let it. Jesus won't take that from you either unless you give it to Him. But He's here, and He's waiting with open arms. All you have to do is give it to Him. Oh, but by the way, when you give it to Him, don't take it back with you. Leave it. Leave it. Whatever it is, let God have it, as we sing one more verse. Thank you for coming our way. To our visitors, we're really glad to have you. We'll hope if you're back in our area, you'll come back and see us again. You're welcome tonight. Come here, Brother Yorley. He's quite an amazing fellow. I love listening to him talk. And everybody, please come back. You know, Brother Yorley's one of those guys that down in Peru, he was the prosecuting attorney. He had about as good a life as that country could offer. His wife also had a very good job. And when he got saved and God called him to preach, he left all that and he came to the United States and went to seminary so that he could go back and preach to his people. And he has a passion in his heart for his people coming to know Jesus Christ. He'll bless your heart if you'll come listen to him, talk to him. Come with questions. I know he'd be glad to answer any of them, and then we'll... whenever he's done, whatever time that is, we'll adjourn across the way and have coffee and ice cream, and we might eat that cake too. Can't ever tell. Are you sure? Well, we might eat it anyway. So come back for that. Anything else?